Amen. Well, God bless you. Just sit back and relax and get excited about what's getting ready to happen in your life. We're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to look at some principles in the Word of God that I believe are going to stretch you and open up some things to you. Pastor George mentioned that I'm one of the instructors at the Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and I just want to give a shout out to all of our students. I haven't seen you for a month, and I miss you guys so much. I think about you all the time. I pray for you every day, and I'm excited about the times that we get to get back together again and see each other again. I just believe that you're just growing in the things of God and that you're getting excited about God launching you out into the ministry that He has for you. So hi. Love you. Bless you. I just wanted to say that before we got started. It's Palm Sunday, and so I want to begin in John chapter 12 and starting in verse 12. And I want to talk about just the setting there, because there's something happening today that I believe that you can open up your heart, you can open up your mind, you can open up your home, your atmosphere to a new level of Jesus. So let's look at this in John chapter 12 and starting in verse 12. It says, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, and when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. So here's the setting. The atmosphere was electric with expectation that Jesus was here. Just previous to this, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. The word was getting around that that had happened. People were just buzzing. They were just so excited about seeing this Jesus who raised somebody from the dead. And it blessed them to be able to come and to welcome him into town. And they welcomed him into where they were. Now, I want us to look down at verse 19, because there was another group of people that weren't so excited about Jesus being there. It was the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And it says this in verse 19 of John chapter 12. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Now, this is something that I believe is happening right now with this pandemic, this thing that's going on, and everybody is in isolation and everybody has to stay away from everybody else. But this is a time like no other where we can go on the airwaves and we can reach into every home. And a lot of the distractions that are normally happening around you, suddenly those things are not available. And suddenly you can focus in and hear from God and get a word from God. So I really encourage you today on Palm Sunday that you get excited and invite Jesus in and you say, Jesus, come into my home in a new way. Jesus, show up in my life in a new way. Jesus, manifest yourself to me in a brand new way. Get excited about the presence of God and receive him. And the rest of the world is going to notice and they're going to say, look, look, the whole world is going after him. This man, what's so special about this man? Well, here's what's so special about him. He has the anointing. He is the anointed one. The anointing is all over him. An anointing flows out of him. And so today, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about nothing but the anointing. And so as you hear these words today, I want you to let them like take hold and get into and onto your spirit. Because there's going to be a new anointing released in your life today. And it's going to be powerful. And it's going to flow all over you. And here's what I believe is going to happen. It's the anointing oil of God is going to come on you and get all over you. And this anointing oil is going to make you slippery. It's going to make you so slippery that when COVID-19 tries to come along and tries to get a hold of you, you're going to slip right through its fingers like a wet bar of soap. You are going to be so slippery from the oil of the anointing that poverty can't touch you, debt can't touch you, these pressures can't touch you, disease can't touch you, sickness and death can't touch you. God is going to move in your life in such a way that the anointing is so strong and so powerful on your life that nothing shall by any means hurt you because of the anointing. So we're going to look at that, but I want to share some things with you right now about something. I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought it was interesting Just under a year ago, last year in May, Cindy and I had the privilege of going to visit a very special place. We went to the JW Marriott Resort and Hotel on a little island outside of Venice. It's part of the Venetian Islands. And it was so wonderful and it was so amazing. And if we have some of those pictures, I was going to have you pull those up. Because I wanted to talk about anointing oil. This little island is so special. For many decades, this little place was a hospital for respiratory diseases. And they took in people that had a great ocean breeze and had fresh air. There's the gardens out in front of the hotel. It's just a beautiful place. They have olive groves. They have rose gardens. Go ahead and go to the next picture. This is the hotel and some of the grounds. Go to the next one. This is the pool on the top of the hotel overlooking Venice. It was just a beautiful place. Go ahead and go to the next one. That's some of the hotel there. This is the front of the hotel, one of the entrances. This is a chapel that was a church when they had the hospital on the island. This is the chapel where they would gather together and worship the staff and some of the patients that were there. And it was just a beautiful setting. Go ahead. And there's some of the roses and a little bottle of the oil that I'll talk about in just a second. But it's called Isola del Rose is the name of the island. It's the island of roses. And that's the little bottle of oil. I have that here too. Little bottle of oil, and that's a prayer cloth from Eagle Mountain International Church, the revival capital of the world, that we brought with us, that we left there on the property. We got to walk around the property. We got to pray over that area, and we just invested ourselves spiritually into that place. God sends us on these assignments, and we just went and put our footprint there so that the anointing would be there. Go ahead and go to the next one. There's Cindy and I with some of the grounds in the background there. There's some of the roses. This is why it's called the Island of the Rose. They have white roses everywhere. All the roses on the island are white. And it's just so pure and so beautiful. And there's the chapel with the roses in the foreground. There's the chapel from another angle from the roof of the hotel. And another angle of it too. It's just a beautiful place. And we got to go and we got to stay there and pray and just release the anointing of God. It was just so awesome. We bought some of the oil. They have olive groves there and they make their own. They press their own olive oil there. And we thought that was so awesome. So we got a bottle of the olive oil and brought it home with us. Well, several weeks ago when we heard that Italy was, and especially the Venice area, was one of the hardest hit areas with this virus, it was personal because we had been there and it touched our hearts. And it's interesting how God works in your life. He does things in your life and he connects you to things so that it'll be personal, so that it will touch your heart, so that you can release compassion, so that you can release anointing. When we heard what was going on in Venice and in Italy, we got out our oil and we anointed ourselves in proxy for the people of Italy. And we stood in intercession for the people of Italy. And I just believe right now, in fact, I'm just going to declare right now that that virus suddenly is going to take a drastic turn and that curve is going to go just drastically down in Jesus' name. And I release healing for Italy. I release healing for China. I release healing for the United States of America, for New York City, and for New Orleans. And I release in Jesus' name a new anointing in New York and a new anointing in New Orleans that's going to bring healing instead of disease. And this touches our hearts and this affects our lives. And it does so so that we can rise up in compassion. We can intercede for our friends, for our brothers and sisters, and for our people and for our country. So I wanted to share that with you because there's an anointing that's flowing. There's an oil of God that's flowing, and it's going to make a difference in your life, and it's going to make a difference around the world. I want us to go to a scripture verse in 2 Kings chapter 4. And as we go over there, we're going to look at a story where here's a woman with some really serious conditions, some really serious situations that she's going through. And she needs the anointing. She needs an answer. She needs solutions to come. So we're going to read this story. We're going to read in chapter 4 from verse 1 through verse 7. And it says this, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest. Now this story reminds me so much of the situation that we're in our country right now. Many people have been touched by death. Many people have been touched by tragedy. Many people are being affected right now by financial strains. And we need some answers and we need some breakthroughs. We need the anointed one and his anointing to come through for us. So this woman just thought about her situation. She thought about, okay, what can I do? Her husband was dead. And so she thought, okay, what connections do I have? Well, her husband was one of the sons of the prophets. He was a disciple in training, learning how to be a prophet when he passed away. So she, through her husband, had a connection to Elisha. Well, Elisha in her generation represented the anointing. He represented Jesus Christ. He represented the answers from God that could bring solutions to the problem. So she had a connection through her husband. So she went to him boldly and stood before him and says, you know that my husband feared the Lord and I need your help. I need you to do something for me. And Elisha responded so positively. He said, what can I do for you? What do you have in your house? And I love the response here because many times in our situations, this is how we feel. It's, God's like, okay, I want to do something for you. I want to bring you the breakthrough. What do you have that I can work through? What do you have that I can work with? And you're thinking and you're thinking, and you're thinking, well, I have nothing. I have nothing. Her answer to the prophet was nothing. I have nothing in the house except a jar of oil. I have nothing but, let me put it this way. I have nothing but the anointing. There's nothing in my house but the anointing. I have nothing but the anointing. Well, that's all you need. The anointing is all you need to break this thing. The anointing is all that you need to keep disease and sickness and death and poverty away from you. She said, I have nothing but the anointing. And so the instructions from the prophet were so awesome. He said, okay, shut the door and start to pour. I want you to say that right now. Shut the door and start to pour. This is a word of God for somebody. Shut the door and start to pour. Some of you are sitting at home going, I'm so bored. None of the stores are open. There's nothing to do. There's nowhere to go. I can't go to work. Shut the door and start to pour. What does that mean? That means there's something on the inside of you that if you will let it rise up, you will cause it to have place there in your house. Shut the door behind you and begin to pour out your heart to the Lord. Begin to pour out the faith that is on the inside of you and pour out your heart to God and say, God, okay, here we are. This is it. God's going to give you answers. God's going to give you ideas. God's going to give you insights into your future. He's going to give you steps to take. He's going to give you directions if you shut the door and start to pour. Turn the TV off, get alone with God, and get on your knees and just start to pour out of yourself just words of prayer, words of worship, words of praise, and begin to pour out to God, and you'll see the anointing start to flow, and you'll see the answers start to flow. Well, this woman did that. She shut the door and started to pour, and they filled up vessel after vessel after vessel after vessel. I can just imagine this mom and her two sons covered with oil by the time this was all done. They were so slippery. She's like, bring me another vessel. It's still pouring. He's like, we don't have any more vessels. So they had all this oil in the house. The house was full of oil. God put them into the oil business. They struck oil. Suddenly they had everything that they needed. Because of the anointing oil. She went back to the prophet and said, okay, now what do I do? He said, sell the oil, pay the debt, you and your sons live on the rest. It's like a little poem, isn't it? Sell the oil, pay the debt, you and your sons live on the rest. You probably need to say that a couple of times. Sell the oil, this anointing that's flowing through you, all of a sudden it's going to have substance to it. It's going to be bringing you finances, it's going to be bringing you blessing, it's going to be bringing you breakthrough. And pay all the debt. You know what? Here's a word from God. You're going to come out of this pandemic. You're going to come out of this isolation out of debt. I know that doesn't look like there's any way for that to happen, but you're going to come out of this with no debt. You're going to come out of this with more money than what you had when you started. Okay? When this thing turns around, you're going to have your turnaround. And there, you might say, well, there's no way. Well, there is a way. It's the anointing. Why? Because you have nothing but the anointing. You have nothing but the anointing. God is flowing in such a way that the anointing is going to change everything, like it did for this woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, here's some points I want to show you. The first thing is connect to the anointing. She had a connection. She recognized that there was a connection between her and Elisha. She connected with the anointing. She had a connection, so she took advantage of that connection. Now, some of you are partners with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Some of you are members of Eagle Mountain Church. Some of you need to make the decision and come to Kenneth Copeland Bible College. It's been stirring in your heart and you've been thinking about it. And it's like, you know what? God has put a calling on my life and I haven't done anything about it. Some of you need to sell what you have and come to Bible College this next fall, because God is wanting to pour into you and pour through you some things that have been stirring in there for a long time. Okay? Make your connection. Out of that connection is going to come answers. Out of that connection is going to come words from God and direction from God. So recognize your connection and connect. Okay? If you're not partners with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you should be. If you're not a member of Eagle Mountain Church, you can be an e-member online. You should be. If you're not connected to the anointing, hey, make your connections now. Just go ahead and do it. Okay? You've been procrastinating long enough. You're a pro at procrastinating. You need to stop doing that. You need to make your connection and you need to press in for the anointing to begin to flow in your life. The second point I want to make is cultivate the anointing. You cultivate this. You utilize it. You know, when you cultivate a garden, you're working the soil and you're working those plants. You're getting the weeds out. You're keeping the bugs out. You're cultivating it. You're working it. You need to work the word. God gives you a word. You need to take that word and you need to cultivate it in your heart, because that word is full of anointing and it's going to bring answers to you. The third thing I want you to do is crave the anointing. Crave it. Fall in love with it. Hunger for it, thirst for it. Smith Wigglesworth was this way. He said, I'd rather spend 1 minute under the anointing than, you know, than never do have experienced it. Catherine Kuhlman was this way. She was like, God, I have to have your anointing. I have to have your anointing flow. And miracles would flow. They craved the anointing. They hungered for it. Well, you have to do that on purpose. You can't just take it for granted and go, yeah, well, yeah, I've got a Bible. Yeah, this God gave me a word. Yeah. No, you've got to hunger for it, crave it, go after it. Okay? And when you do that, the intensity of it will increase and it will grow and you'll see the manifestation of it in your life. And when you crave it, then you can shut the door and start to pour and you'll see it increase and intensify. All right, here's some things. I want to show you some things in the scriptures for several minutes here. Things to remember in a crisis. I just want to show you this. The first one is, remember this, that the anointing is a person. It's not a thing. You know, if you're looking at this broadcast and you're like, wow, where do I get some of that oil? You don't need oil from Venice in order for the anointing to flow. The anointing is a person. I want to read from Luke chapter 4. This is Jesus. He comes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He's just starting his ministry. He gets up in front of the congregation. He picks a passage of scripture that is in Isaiah and he begins to read. Now listen to what he says. This is so powerful. The anointing is a person. Listen to what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which is the year of Jubilee, where every need is met, every bill is paid, every debt is canceled, and everything is restored. That's the year of Jubilee. In verse 20, then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Now, this is something that I want you to do. I want you to focus on Jesus because he is the anointing. He is the anointed one. Here's another key. He is your anointed one. He is the anointed one sent to you. So you need to focus on him. Don't focus on, you know, don't go to Amazon and order some oil. You don't have to do that. Jesus is the anointing and he is the anointed one. And he says it right here. He says, "It's the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and I am the answer to every situation, every problem, every disease, every sickness, every lack, every thing that you need turned around in your life. I am the answer." And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. They were totally focused on what he was saying. And then he said this in verse 21, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I'm telling you this, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You're going to come to know Jesus in a whole new way. You're going to come to know Jesus as your anointed one with the anointing to turn everything around for you. Now, many of you know Jesus as your Lord. Many of you know Jesus as your Savior. He forgave all your sins. Many of you know Jesus as your baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He filled you with the Holy Spirit. Many of you know Jesus as your comfort. He gives you peace in the midst of the storm. But you know what? Today, you're going to come to know Jesus as your anointed one. This is what he said about himself. He said, "I am the anointed one sent with the anointing to solve the problem." The woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, she had a connection. She made that connection. Jesus is your connection and he's available to you. We're going to look at that in a minute. But I want you to see him as your anointed one. Okay? I want you to receive him as your anointed one. Now, I want to talk about this for just a second because, you know, like for the Bible college students here at Kenneth Copeland Bible College, I'm their instructor, okay? I'm teaching ethics and I'm teaching the class called The Blessing, and I'm their instructor and they know me as a teacher. They know me as their instructor. But there's other people out there that years ago when Cindy and I were doing children's ministry, I was their children's pastor. And then there's other people that know me as their youth pastor. I was their youth pastor. And then there's other people that know me as their pastor. We pastored a church for 10 years. People that know me as their pastor. Other people know me as a guest speaker. My wife Cindy knows me as a husband. Okay? Depending on who they were is who I was to them. Okay? Now, when you needed salvation, Jesus became your Savior and you knew him as your Savior. When you didn't have any direction and you needed to know what to do next, Jesus became your Lord and gave you direction and instruction. Okay, now we're in the middle of this pandemic and you need Jesus as your anointed one with the anointing. And I want you to step into a new mentality that Jesus is the answer to this whole thing. You say, I don't have any toilet paper in my house, but I have the anointing and the anointing can get me toilet paper, you know? And, you know, some of you might think that's goofy, but you know what? If you're out of toilet paper, that's a serious issue. But you know what? If you'll pray and you'll release the anointing, everything you have need of, it'll come to you. We have a friend up in Connecticut who decided one day she had too much toilet paper. So she went down to the local store and started passing out toilet paper to people who couldn't find any. Okay? She became an answer. She became an anointed representation of Jesus to people who needed toilet paper. And I'm sure people were like, "Oh, this is such an answer to prayer." Okay? Today, Jesus, the person Jesus, is going to become your anointed one with the anointing to change your situation. The second point, things to remember in a crisis, is the anointing is available to you and it's close by. I want to go over to Romans chapter 10. And we'll look at this scripture, Romans chapter 10. Now, this is a scripture that's familiar to you, but I'm going to show it to you in a different way. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 6. It says this, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, you might be thinking, okay, I need the anointing, but you know, I don't have Elisha, the prophet, or I don't have, you know, this person that I can go to. You know what? You don't need that. This says the righteousness, which is of faith, doesn't say if only Christ means the anointing. It doesn't say if only the anointing would come down. Anointing, come down. Anointing, we need it to come down. Anointing, come fall on us. Anointing, we need you here now. No, the righteousness, which is of faith, doesn't say if only the anointing were here. The righteousness, which is of faith, says it's here, it's now, it's in my heart, it's in my mouth. This anointing is with you, it's near you, it's in you. Jesus is in you. If you've accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, the anointing, all the anointing you need is on the inside of you. It doesn't say if only Jesus were here, it says Jesus is here. Let's get this done. Let's get her done, as they say in Texas. Okay, now God's wanting to release this in you, but if you're sitting there, it says the righteousness of faith does not say, do not say in your heart. If you're sitting there saying in your heart, oh, I don't have any, I have nothing. I have nothing in my house. I have nothing in my house. But you have the anointing. You have a jar of oil. You have a Jesus on the inside of you who is full of anointing. Now think about this for just a second, okay? Jesus, the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, on the earth doing the will of God. You can't get more anointing than that. This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together, full of anointing, filled to overflowing with so much that they couldn't use all the anointing that they have. So they pour it out. That level of anointing is on the inside of you if you will unlock it. How do you unlock it? With your heart and with your mouth. You believe in your heart, the anointed one is inside of me. The anointing is inside of me, and you release it through your mouth. I'm anointed to solve problems. I'm anointed to turn this situation around. Jesus is on the inside of me. I have all the anointing that I need. I have oil flowing. I'm in the oil business. Suddenly the oil is flowing. I shut the door and start to pour. Suddenly I have all the money that I need. Suddenly all my debts are gone. Suddenly sickness and disease flees from me because the anointed one is in you. The righteousness which is of faith says, it's in me. It's in me. Now. I have it now. So that's what you need to remember when you're facing a crisis situation. The anointing is a person, and the anointing is near, not only near, but close by, not only close by, but in you. Okay? Now let's look at the next one. The anointing, number three, the anointing is the answer. I'm going to go over to Isaiah chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 10, and this is an interesting verse. It says what the anointing does. The anointing is the answer to this situation. Isaiah chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 27. Praise the Lord. Just say praise God. Just start praising Him where you are. That anointing will stir up on the inside of you and it'll start to flow. Hallelujah. Okay, listen to this. Isaiah 10, 27 says, it shall come to pass in that day. You know what? This is that day. This is that day. Today is that day. It's Palm Sunday. Welcome, Jesus. Come on in. This is that day. It shall come to pass in that day that His burden will be taken away from your shoulder and His yoke from off your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Okay, now, are there burdens going on right now? Yes. People are under a lot of pressure. They're under pressure to wash their hands and keep their hands clean and stay 6 feet away from each other, and not spread these germs. And that's all good instruction. That's all good stuff. Okay. But it's like suddenly things that we never had to do before, we're having to do. Suddenly our whole lives have changed. And the way we do things, the way we communicate with each other has changed. Okay. And it's become this burden and this yoke. But let me tell you what, you know, a yoke is for two beasts of burden. A yoke is where you take two animals and you hook them together. It's this curved piece of wood that you lock together like two oxen, and you lock their neck into this yoke and you hook them up to a heavy load. And these two together are having to pull this heavy load. The devil, Satan, is trying to connect our generation to a disease. This will, you know, if we don't change it, this is going to be known as the COVID-19 generation. This is going to be known as a diseased generation, okay? Well, what if we turned it around? What if we did what Isaiah 10:27 said, and this burden shall be removed and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing oil? Because all of a sudden we've gotten so slippery that disease can't touch us. We've gotten so slippery that poverty can't touch us. We've gotten so slippery that these burdens, these problems, these issues, these heavy things can't touch us. How can that turn around? Well, Brother Copeland in the virtual victory campaign this weekend was declaring a heat wave. And I declare that with him in Jesus' name, a heat wave to come and burn up this virus. This is going to be known as the generation who rose up and by their faith took charge and turned some things around. It's going to be known as a generation of healing and not disease. Why? Because it's going to happen. It's going to turn around faster. It's going to have a greater effect. It's going to touch more people's lives and protect. I believe that the answers that come out of this pandemic, this issue, this situation, is going to release healing for decades. I mean healing. This is insight into healing for decades, to where new viruses change and form, but we already know how to deal with it beforehand. And we can deal with it that fast because things are speeding up. And the answer is here. Okay? And the devil is not going to be able to hook us up with disease. He's not going to be able to hook us up with poverty. He's not going to be able to hook us up with debt for us to pull around our whole lives. Suddenly, because of the anointing oil, this burden is removed and the yoke of bondage is destroyed. It's annihilated. It's so pulverized that the wind of God blows it away and it disappears forever. And it's as if it never happened. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing oil. What do I need to change this situation? Nothing but the anointing. You just need the anointing to be released in your life and to flow. You need to shut the door and start to pour so that you can sell the oil and pay the debt and you and your sons live on the rest. This is powerful. Getting into the anointing, getting into the presence of God, hungering for it, craving it, getting into a level of anointing like never before is going to turn this situation around for you. It's going to turn your situation around. And number four, the anointing teaches you everything. We're going to go over to 1 John chapter 2 in the New Testament just before Revelation. Go to Revelation and then back up a couple of chapters. And we're going to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verse 12 to 14. First of all, I want you to look at this. He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, John is writing to the church and he's saying, look, I've written to you. And he says several times in a row, because you've known the Father, because you've known him who is from the beginning, because you've known something, you've known something. Now, this is what I want to encourage you. Know him. Paul says in Philippians, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, to know him as the anointed one, to know him in a new way. He's saying, I've written to you because you've known him. You need to come up to a new level of knowing him. And in that new level of knowing him, new things are going to be released. You know, you've known God in this level, in this realm, in this setting before, but there's new realm. God is so vast. There's new realms. There's new levels to know God in. And we're in this situation. It's time to know God in a new way. Know him as the anointed one, full of the anointing, pouring out anointing for your situation. Now, if you go down to verse 20, it says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. He says this. Now, this is God talking to you now. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. I'm telling you this today. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know what? Everything you need is in that anointing. If you need to know something, if you need to understand something, if you need to see something, that anointing is in there. You have an anointing from the Holy One. So what do? It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. You start releasing it to come forward. You don't go around saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how long this is going to be. Go around talking like that. Go around saying the anointing on the inside of us is changing the situation and it's turning it around. And I declare that this virus is over and I declare that this pandemic is done. You start talking like that. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see all of a sudden breakthroughs happen in you and around you. And it's going to be powerful. And then look at verse 27, same chapter. He says, but the anointing which you have, say, I have it. The anointing which you have received from him abides. It lives in you. It dwells in you. It's made its home in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. The anointing is going to teach you some new things. The anointing is going to teach you how to come up and how to live on a new level with him. And it's going to be powerful. I had a dream last night. I was sharing it with Cindy after I woke up. And in the dream, we were in this beautiful hotel. It was a convention hotel, and it was just amazing. It was all spread out and beautifully decorated. It was just massive. Even the elevators were huge. This elevator that we were getting on, we were going to go up to the 10th floor, and we were coming up to the elevator, and people were getting on it, and it was like 25 feet wide. It wasn't very deep. It was maybe about 6 or 8 feet deep, and it was all decorated and had plants and flowers and all kinds of stuff in the elevator, and people were getting on and deciding what floor that they're going to go to. And we were coming up to the elevator, and Cindy, we had gotten separated somehow, and there were two of these kind of elevators side by side, and she was ahead of me. She got on the furthest elevator, and the doors were getting ready to close, so I just jumped on the one closer to me. And the doors closed, and we were looking at which floor to go to, and we were going up, and I wanted to go to the 10th floor, and I ended up on the 14th floor. And so I was trying to figure out how I was going to get back down to the 10th floor to see where Cindy was. And when I woke up, I was just praying about that. And the Lord says, I'm bringing you into new, beautiful places where it's bigger and wider and more spread out than you've ever been. And I'm taking you higher than you thought. And I thought, that is such a good word. That is such a good word. Right in the middle of a crisis, God's speaking words to me about going further and higher and beautiful things happening. God's speaking that to you too, okay? I wanted to share that dream with you because that dream touched somebody's heart. And some of you have been depressed. Some of you have been, you know, you've been isolated. And so in that isolation, all of a sudden it just felt dark and it's felt lonely. But you know what? There's an anointing on the inside of you and it's rising up in you and you're taking hold of your future and you're taking hold of your destiny and you're taking hold of what God has for you by this anointing. Okay? Take hold of it. All right? The answer, the anointing teaches you everything, and the anointing is teaching you what to do, what to say, how to respond, how to move, how to flow, how to be a blessing, how to reach out to other people in the midst of this thing. Okay? Now, I'm going to wrap it up with this. I want to talk about falling in love with the anointing again. You know, we talked about craving the anointing, but I want to talk about falling in love with the anointing again. And I want to use Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, just a couple of pages from 1 John 2. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, Jesus is talking to the church. He appears to John. He's giving him this revelation that's recorded here in the book of Revelation. And he says in verse 4, this is instruction to one of the churches that he's writing to. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, I know a lot of times when we hear the word repent, it's a negative connotation in our minds. It's like, oh, I'm bad and I've blown it and I've done things wrong. But the word repent just means turn around. The word repent means go in a new direction. Quit going this direction. Go in a new direction. Okay? Now, Jesus is encouraging the church. He's like, look, recognize that you've wandered away from your first love. The passion that you used to feel and the things that you used to do because you were in love, you're not doing those anymore. Your love has grown cold. And didn't Jesus say that? He said in the last days, many people, their love will grow cold because they'll be hard-hearted or they'll go numb. And maybe that's happened in your life. You know, when you read the word, there's no sparks anymore. You hear a message and you're like, oh yeah, I've heard that before. No. You need to wake some things up on the inside of you again. You need to come alive again. Your love needs to come alive again. Cindy and I have been married for a long time. We got married in 1976, and this year we'll celebrate our 44th wedding anniversary. And you know what? We keep our love alive. There isn't a day that goes by that we don't tell each other that we love each other, that we hold each other, that we kiss each other. We do that every day. Why? Because we're in love. You know, one of my granddaughters was asking me the other day, it's like, have you ever been married before GMA? And I'm like, well, let me think. Let me think of the other women in my life. Let's see. There's my girlfriend. Oh, well, that's Cindy. She's my girlfriend. She's my wife. She's my date. She's my partner in ministry. She's my best friend. She's all of these things in one. Well, Jesus is your Lord and he's your Savior. And you know, he's your baptizer in the Holy Spirit. But let him be the anointing in your life now today. Fall in love with his anointing. The anointing pours out of his eyes. The anointing pours out of his lips. The anointing just comes out of him. Fall in love with that. And if you will turn and you will revive the love in your heart for Jesus and his anointing, you'll see the anointing flow again like never before. He's like, look, you need to do a couple of things to make this come alive again. I was reading some stuff, doing some research on this and looking at how people act, what people do when they fall in love. How do people feel and what do they do when they fall in love? And here's some things that they do. You can't stop thinking about them. When you fall in love with someone, you think about them all the time. Well, I wonder what they're doing now. Well, I wonder what they're saying now. Well, I wonder, you know, that's the first thing. You just can't stop thinking about it. Can't get them out of your mind. The next thing you do when you're in love is you can't stop staring at them. When you're together, you just want to stare at them. You just want your eyes full of them. And it's like, oh yeah, I just want to burn this on the inside of me, this image of you right now in this moment. You can't stop staring at them. The next thing you do is you want to be with them all the time. It's really hard to say goodbye. I mean, it's just like you wake up in the morning, you want to be with them. You know, later on in the day, you want to be with them. You want to call them. You know, and when you call them, when you're talking to them on the phone, here's another one. You can't say goodbye. You don't know how to say goodbye. It's like, yeah, well, okay, I'm going to let you go now. Well, oh, I thought of something else. And your conversations on the phone go on and on and on forever and ever and ever. Remember when you first fell in love with Jesus? You talked to him all day and you talked to him all night. You'd wake up in the middle of the night and you'd talk to him because you were in love. Because he was your Savior and you were so grateful for all that he had done for you. Well, you can do that again because he can become your anointed one. Another thing that you do when you fall in love, you love everything about them. In your eyes, they can do no wrong. And it's just, you know, all you can see is all their goodness. When you fall in love with the anointing, with the anointed one, all you can see is his goodness. You look around, all this junk is going on, but all you can see is the goodness of Jesus. Because that's all you're looking at, man, and that's all you're looking for. And the last thing, when you fall in love, you're in a continual state of bliss. It's like you're walking 3 feet off the ground. It's like you're in a cloud. It's like, you know, you don't know what's going on around you because you're oblivious to all the bad that's going on because what's right in front of you is so good. Fall in love with the anointing again. I want to pray with you. I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, you are my anointed one. Dear Jesus, I receive into my heart you as the anointing. Dear Jesus, I shut the door and start to pour. Jesus, everything that you've put inside of me, I stir it up now. I stir up the gift that is in me. I stir up the fire that is in me. Jesus, I am in love with you. Just say that. Just say, Jesus, I'm in love with you. Say, Jesus, I fall in love with you all over again. Just say that over and over again. Jesus, I fall in love with you. I love you so much. You're so amazing. You're so wonderful. As you fall in love with him, you're going to think about him all day and all night. As you fall in love with him, you're going to want to be with him all the time. It's just like what David said. He said, look, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than live 1,000 days anywhere else. It's like, I want to live in your presence. Paul was this way. David was this way. These characters in the Bible were this way. They wanted the anointing. They couldn't live without it. Smith Wigglesworth talked like that. He's like, oh, I have to have the anointing. And he knew the anointing was in this word. And he knew the anointing was in the Jesus on the inside of him. And he would stir that up all the time. Smith Wigglesworth was so funny. It's like if you showed up at his house to visit him and you knocked on the door, if you had a newspaper with you, he wouldn't let the newspaper in the house because he wanted nothing but the anointing. He's like, I don't want all that bad news. I want the anointing. Nothing but the anointing. Say that. Pray that. Say, God, I want nothing but the anointing. All I want is the anointing. I am in love with the anointing. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's what I'm drawing and drinking and craving and wanting is your anointing, your presence in my life. I believe the presence of God is filling up your living room, your bedroom, wherever you are right now. The presence of God is coming in there, and the peace of God and the rest of God, the answers of God, the insight of God, the fire of God is stirring you up and is being a blessing to you today. When Pastor George preaches his message today, just get ready. The words that he speaks are going to be full of anointing, and they're going to get on the inside of you, and they're going to be power on the inside of you. And you take those words and you cultivate those words and you crave the anointing, and you'll see the power of God released in your life and turn some things around. Pastor George, God. Amen. God. You've received that today. Receive the anointing of God in your life today.